Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
So, Tim Versalotti, you're a pollster. We're doing a do-over in Massachusetts on casinos. And there are people who expect that the do-over, now that people have NIMBY'd, in other words, not in my backyard, once they realize that they might be close to one of these things, are going to vote no.
It's a fascinating issue to see unfold here. Yes, the state legislature Governor Patrick had supported the creation of legislation authorizing up to 3 casinos in Massachusetts. That passed in 2011. We've been through a licensing process. The state is divided into 3 regions. There are proposals in western Massachusetts and 2 in eastern Massachusetts at this point. And one of the features of the legislation is the local communities have to support the proposals before they can proceed. And a number of proposals went down to defeat across the state last year. West Springfield and Palmer here in western Massachusetts were among the communities that rejected the casinos. And so a grassroots effort has sprung up in Massachusetts called Repeal the Casino Deal. They've managed to gather enough signatures to put a question on the ballot for November asking voters whether they support or oppose overturning the casino law. The phrasing of the question is pretty tricky for the average voter. Voting yes means you oppose casinos. Voting no means you support casinos. So both sides have to do a tremendous amount of education of voters this fall to make sure that voters cast the ballot in the direction that reflects their sentiments. It's going to be a complicated sales pitch, I think.
Is there any polling on this?
There has been polling. Historically, in Massachusetts, at least in our polling, we've seen a majority of not just all adults, but the narrower pool of voters support casinos, but a majority also oppose casinos in their town. So classic, not in my backyard. The polling we've seen over the summer has shown that the support for casinos remains just above 50%. Opposition, it fluctuates anywhere from the upper 30s to the low 40s in terms of percent opposed to casinos. But what we know is that their enthusiasm is on the no side, is on the repeal side. Those voters seem much more focused on the issue. The yes side, I think it's more casinos, sure. Just keep it away from me.
Yeah.
The no's, though, it's not just a NIMBY issue, but it's also an issue of, is this sound economic development? Is this predatory in terms of fleecing people of their disposable income? And so the no side it seems to be much more passionate at this point in the cycle. So this is an issue that it will be fascinating to watch unfold in the fall.
Let's talk about immigration reform, Tim Versalotti, and a related issue. Deval Patrick, I always have thought of him as a superb human being, and others say, let's take some of those poor kids who have come over the border and house them at Westover Air Force Base. This has engendered some people who say, no, that's not what we want to do. What are you seeing?
This is a fascinating political story. Deval Patrick gave an emotional, powerful speech a few weeks ago where he said, this is the moral, this is the right thing to do. These are children. We need to provide them safe haven while their cases are handled by the federal government. And so he told the federal government, we've got 2 spots in Massachusetts where we could house children, Camp Edwards, which is a military base on Cape Cod, or Westover Air Reserve Base in Chicopee. The offer is out, but it set off a huge debate here in Massachusetts. Interestingly, all of the major candidates, save one, backed Governor Patrick. So Martha Coakley, Steve Grossman, Don Berwick, and on the Republican side, Charlie Baker, all said, we support the governor's idea. Mark Fisher, Charlie Baker's opponent in the upcoming Republican primary, said he opposed it, as did an independent candidate, Jeff McCormick. He said it was a bad idea. The local officials on Cape Cod and in Chicopee were flabbergasted by this. And herein, as a political advisor, I would have said to the governor, you needed to build a little bit of a foundation here, a little bit of a framework by reaching out to these local officials and saying, there are a lot more questions than answers right now, but I really think this is the right thing to do. When he didn't do that, it instantly stirred up opposition among local elected officials. At this point, there's been no definitive response from the federal government as to whether they would take up Patrick's offer. Patrick insists through his office that calls are running 3-1 in favor of his idea. And as a second-term incumbent who's not seeking a third term, this is the kind of latitude Patrick has. He can get out there and do things that he might not otherwise be able to do were he running for another term.
But also, he's a man of such character that it seems to me that this is the kind of thing that makes people really like him. So that, in other words, everybody else is doing politics, as we say, you know. Do this, you lose this group, do this. There's something to be said for a man who does what's right.
Oh, no question about it, no question. And his supporters, again, say this affirms our estimation of Governor Patrick as a leader, as a public official who has a moral conscience. All well and good. I think it's probably a good idea that he's not seeking re-election because, in this regard, because this would be a tough issue. Let's contrast Massachusetts to Connecticut, where the incumbent Democratic governor Dan O'Malley said, "No, we really aren't able to take undocumented minors who've crossed the border." He's in a tight race. That would have been a hornet's nest for him to take the step that Governor Patrick has taken.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I want to come back to something we talked about in the last 2 days. We have less than 2 minutes. So does the GOP win the Senate?
It's probabilities at this point. And the various news organizations that project based on polls from all over the country say the Republicans have the edge. It's not a wave election so far. It's not like what we saw in 2010, but they don't have to do much. They just have to pick up 6 seats, and a few of them are gimmies because incumbent Democrats aren't running again, and those were states where it was going to be tough for anyone other than an incumbent to win from the Democratic Party. So at this point in time, if the election were held today, the Republicans would be in the driver's seat. Now, come the fall, let's see what unfolds with the House Republicans' lawsuit against the president, with this chatter about impeachment. It could be a way for Democrats to mobilize folks who ordinarily wouldn't turn out, and maybe they can hang on to the Senate. At best, it could be a 50-50 split, and Joe Biden would be breaking the ties for the Democrats. Nothing's done. The country really isn't focusing yet on the midterms, and so a lot could change.
Our very good friend Tim Versalotti, director of the Western New England University Poll, professor of political science, and a great mind. Thank you so much, Tim, for being with us.
You're very welcome.